Acts chapter 2, we want to look back at our thought about the daily requirements for a healthy church. This model up here that I have actually is a supplementary kind of thing. And it has on here different requirements, daily requirements. And if you look on vitamins, if you look on some medicines, you'll find the requirements. That means it's necessary. It is saying if you want to be healthy, you have to consume this. There's something you have to do. And also, therefore, if you do not consume it, if you don't take it, if you don't do it, don't expect to be healthy. And don't be surprised when you aren't. It is required. I have looked at several different things in relationship to the daily requirements for a healthy church. I've looked at purity. One thing for sure, since God's in charge of it, one requirement He's going to have for a healthy, spiritually healthy church is His people live pure lives. He is watching, and it's not just outward purity, it's inward purity He's very interested in. And He says, if you want to be healthy as a church, you got to be pure. I said again, a church is not just the building, but it is the people that come into the building. And therefore, what we are, this church will be. Sometimes I say, ouch, when I think that. What this church will be determined by what we are. I said the one daily requirement is purity, but also preaching. The Lord uses preaching. I want to look at another thought this morning. Let's go ahead and read a couple of verses, beginning in verse 42 again. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. That meant there was something around that caused people to see themselves. There was something going on that people realized and recognized. This is more than man. This is more than somebody stirring people up. This is more than spiritual gymnastics and spiritual cheerleading. There was a fear, there was a holy fear that was introduced in that church. And it says, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I say that there were signs, that means that it was an evidence that it wasn't them that did it. There was wonders. There was something that's happened that people could not explain. The only explanation was, look at what God has done. I have said first, a daily requirement for a healthy church is purity. The second daily requirement is preaching. I say thirdly, and it's hard to not put this first, that daily requirement of power, that presence, that power of a holy, all-powerful God. When I speak of the word power, I speak first of authority. It's like Barney Fife. A little squirt of a man couldn't beat anybody up. But because of his position, his authority, he has the power to take someone into custody. The policeman on the street corner, he has the position, he has the authority, he has the power to take somebody and put them in jail. So that word power, when it speaks of God, speaks of His authority. He has the right to do what He does. But it also not only speaks of authority, but it speaks of ability. He is able. Now that policeman, that little squirt of a policeman, couldn't take anybody into custody on his own. But if it's a broad, a brute, a strong man dealing with a little squirt of a man, he not only has the position and the authority, but he has the power. He is able to overcome that little squirt of a man and take him to jail. And those things is what we're talking about when it comes to the power of God. He has the authority, but He also has the ability. He is able to do what we cannot do. The disciples tried their best to cast the demons out, but they could not. But Jesus easily, because of His authority, who He was, and because of His ability, cast the demons out with no trouble at all. That's the kind of power that I'm talking about. We so many times get it backwards. We talk about the word power being the Greek word dunamis, and it is. And so often we say that that makes us think about dynamite. It's where the word dynamite came from, and it did. But listen, dynamite didn't come first. The power of God came first. There's a power involved. It says many wonders and signs. We shouldn't be afraid of what God does. It should not alarm us when God moves. In fact, it ought to alarm us when He doesn't. That's what I'm talking about. God moving. Second verse in the Bible. And the Spirit of God moved upon the deep of the water. And all of a sudden, because the power of God moved, things started happening. Until then, it was a void. Just a globe covered with water with nothing happening. But when God spoke and the Spirit moved, the power of God was unleashed. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what this church needs. And that's what every church needs. Listen to me. And this is what they had. We desperately need the power of God. Probably like never before. Because of the conflicts we're in. And the battles we face. And the opposition that's against us. I have prayed several times this morning, Lord, You win today. There's a battle going on in this church. There's a battle going on in every church this morning. And Lord, I want You, I beg You to win today. Don't let the devil win in what he's trying to accomplish in this service. Oh, God, beat him. Drive him back. Make them run like a chicken. Well, I'll tell you what, there's no greater wasted power in the universe than the power of God. Here's all this power. Here's all this ability. And we so seldom connect to it. I say this carefully. Take advantage of it. It's like a battleship sitting in a swimming pool. It's like a thoroughbred being hooked up to a little go-around in a circus where little children get on and ride for a dollar. I tell you, all this power that's available, and so often we do not take advantage of it. Could I say first, God's power deals with our salvation. Notice what it says in verse 43, that fear came. That means conviction. The power of God convicted that lost person. Those lost people that were hearing the word of God and seeing what was going on. All of a sudden, something started happening in their hearts and minds. The power of God was working. The Spirit of God was moving, and inside their heart that had been content and satisfied in a life of sin and satisfied to stay there, all of a sudden that started changing because conviction was coming and fear came, and they saw themselves as they were. Moments before, they said, I'm pretty good. I think I'm a pretty good person. I think I'm doing all right. Boy, I want to tell you, when the power of God moved on them and they started seeing themselves as they were, all of a sudden they realized, I'm not near as good as I thought I was. I need help from God. I need forgiveness. For the help that I need only comes from heaven. That's what the power of God is. And if you're saved, that's what happened to you. The power of God moved on your life, and you saw, maybe for the first time ever, I am a sinner, and I'm heading to hell. If that hasn't happened, I'm afraid you're probably not saved. I'm talking about the power of God this morning. When God moves, it deals with our salvation. They were getting saved because God was moving. It says in verse 44, all that believed, they got convicted and they got converted. They were no longer content in their sin. Listen to me. The Bible says the Son of Man, listen, have power on earth to forgive sin. Now that deals with the authority. He has the power to forgive sin. He has the authority to say, your sin is forgiven. Now I don't have that power, and neither do you. Now if you wrong me, I can tell you, I forgive you for what you've done against me, but I cannot remove your sin. I do not have that power. I do not have that authority, but God does. And when He moves, there is that available authority, that available power to convict and to convert. That's how we got in. Hey, His power deals with our salvation. This morning, if there's someone here who does not know Him, my prayer, my burden, my desire, and my thrill would be if you get saved today. I tell you this morning, God still can save lost people. Isaiah said it like this, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. He still has the ability to convict people. But listen, what we need is God's power. What we need is God's touch. Not only does His power deal with our salvation, but God's power deals with our sanctification. Look in verse 46. They continuing daily. They did right, and they did right again, and they did right again. And the next day they got up and they did right, and they did right again. And the next day they got up and they did right, and they did right again. I call that, the Bible calls that sanctification, the setting apart, where God sets His people apart to live right, do right, and to serve Him and love Him. And it takes God's power for that work of sanctification to be done. Hey, have you ever tried to do right in your own strength? Have you ever tried to make yourself do right? Have you ever tried to deal with me? Have you ever tried to deal with yourself? Have you ever tried to overcome your flesh? I tell you, you won't do it long. You'll find out you will fall quickly. You will fail every time, and so will I. We need the divine power of God working in our lives to sanctify us to where we'll be right and do right. Without His power, we are hopeless. Without His working in us to sanctify us, we will keep on in our flesh and fail God miserably every single day. When I say that working, that moving, that power of God working in the lives of His children is a promise, hope that we have. That He does work. He does want us to do right. I tell you this morning, He can help you overcome you. Maybe that didn't mean as much to you as it does me, but I know me. And I know my me needs help. And only God can give me the help I need. Our flesh will overcome us every time without the power of God. Without God working His work of sanctification in our hearts, we will live in the flesh every day and be halfway content. And asleep and not realize it. But oh, the power of God is unleashed. If that power will work in our lives, He can do in us what we need done, drawing us to Him, making us more like Him, teaching us to live in the Spirit and not the flesh. That sanctifying work, I need it. That renewing work, I need it. That refreshing work, I need it, because I cannot change myself. I'm not able to rejoice at all times like the Bible says. I'm not able to love my enemies like the Bible says. I'm not able to say no to flesh all the time like the Bible says I'm to do. I'm not able to go and give and do and sacrifice all the time like the Bible says, because flesh doesn't want to, but His power, Him working in us, enables us to do what we cannot do generally. His power deals with our salvation. His power deals with our sanctification. I say number three, His power deals with our satisfaction. I thought verse 46, it says they did eat their meat with gladness. They weren't just trudging around saying, oh, poor us old Christians. Oh, my, what a rough life we've got. Oh, my goodness, we're not appreciated. Nobody loves us. What a hard life. Oh, how tough. I'll sure be glad to get to heaven and get out of this miserable, miserable life. That's about how we do. I didn't expect a whole lot of amens there. But I do think I heard some old me's under your breath. But they, even in persecution, even without indoor plumbing, even without air conditioning and heating, even without cars, even without nice clothes, probably most of them, they did what they did with gladness. They were happy. They were joyful. They were delighted to be in the family. They were excited about what God was doing. And the reason they were happy, the reason they had joy, the reason they were doing what they did in gladness was because the power of God was working in their lives. I tell you something, the joy of the Lord is our strength. But listen to me, the joy of the Lord comes from Him. You know why most of us are so miserable most of the time? God's not moving their lives. I did hear a mumble that time at least. You're improving a little bit. Even our joy is His power. Even our joy is the Spirit moving in us. Joy like I'm talking about comes in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trials, when the things are the harshest and the hardest. There's an inner joy. Hey, that only comes from God. Have you ever experienced His indescribable joy when you should have been falling apart and all of a sudden inside you just say, I don't know how, I don't know why, but I'm just about to bust. I thank the Lord for my joy. I have heard people testify around here. Wave the hand and say, oh, how good my God has been. And I knew they was hurting. I knew the trials they were going through, but God had moved. The Spirit had worked. The power of God had worked in their lives to where they could honestly say it wasn't a fib. They weren't just trying to be spiritual. They were telling the truth. In spite of my trials, I'm still rejoicing. In spite of the harshness of the journey, I still thank God. Hey, that kind of joy only comes from God. It's only something He can produce in us. He produces our sanctity, our satisfaction. Psalmist said it like this: the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him. I am helped. Tells me he needed help. Tells me everything wasn't just super duper easy right then. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song, I will praise Him. We lack joy because we lack His power. We lack peace because we lack His power. Hey, I'm talking this morning about the power of God. It is a needed ingredient. We daily need His working, His power, His presence, and what He does in our lives is something we cannot do without. His power deals with our salvation. His power deals with our sanctification. His power deals with our satisfaction. His power deals with our supply. I read in there they have all things common. You know what they're doing? People who don't hardly have anything are giving away what they've got. You know what that tells me? Inside, God had given them an assurance, a confidence in Him, that if I'll listen to Him in my giving away, that God who told me to give it can replace what I have given. Our God has a big supply. The storehouses of heaven are really full. And when we'll listen to Him in our giving, and I'm not talking about just finances, I'm talking about ourselves and finances. Knowing that He can supply, we don't have much, they would say, but He tells us to give, I'm going to give because I know He's got what I need to replace it. The power of God can supply, can provide what we need. That's when God moves. That's how God works. God works miracles even today for those who will listen to Him about how they're to live and give. His power deals with our supply, how He can supply what we need. His power not only deals with our salvation and our sanctification, our satisfaction and our supply, but it also deals with our service. It says they continued steadfastly. And it says in there what they were doing. They were doing. They were serving. Where did they get the power or the desire or the wherewithal to do all that serving? If you know anything about yourself, if you know anything about flesh, you know for sure it didn't come from them. It wasn't their grit. It wasn't their self-determination. And we're going to do what's right, and we're going to step up to the plate, and we're going to man up, and we're going to be Christian about this thing, and we're going to do what's right. That lasts for about 5 minutes. Here's some people serving the Lord when it costs you to serve the Lord. Where in the world did that first, the courage they needed to serve Him come from? How quick would you be to go and witness to someone if you thought, not only might they snicker at me, not only may they throw the track down, but if the wrong person hears it, I may be in jail tonight. It may cost me my life. If I go preach on the street corner, they may not just ride by and snicker. The authorities may come and arrest me and put me in prison and lock me up in a dungeon until they decide to let me go. It may cost me my life. How quick would you be? How quick would I be to serve the Lord if there was that danger ever present? Why did they do it? Because God was working in their heart. God was working. The movement, the power of God was working in their lives to where they said, I must serve God no matter what it costs. I want to serve God no matter what it costs. I'm willing to serve God no matter what it costs. But more than just the courage they needed, but listen, the power to go and do it. Peter preached and 3,000 got saved. Later on, 5,000 got saved. Then they stopped counting, just said multitudes got saved. Well, that wasn't Peter. Peter didn't stand up and tell them a sad story and play a violin. Peter didn't coerce or manipulate. He stood up in the power of God and preached God's word, and God moved. It's not us in our service of Him that accomplishes anything. It's not you teaching. It's not you singing. It's not you witnessing. It's not you doing. It's not us going. It's Him through us. Hey, all Moses did was lift up a rod. Was that it? Is that what split the Red Sea? If you say yes, I'm sorry, but you as dumb as a brick. I hope you didn't say yes before I just said that. It was God's power through a man. Same with Peter, same with Paul. Brother Tom reminded us about Paul writing 13, maybe 14 books. Was that Paul? No, it was God moving. And we need God's power while we're serving God to move through us to accomplish what He desires. And when we trust ourselves, we are already defeated. And when we depend on our abilities, we're already defeated. But if we'll trust His ability, His power, His authority. But listen to me, we need that power. His power is not promised to everybody. I've said it often, God's not like the clown in the parade, throwing out candy to whoever, just casting it out there. He don't care where it goes, that's not God. God's very careful in who He puts His power on. Listen to me, God's very careful about what church He puts His power on. God's very careful about how He uses people that's trying to serve Him. God's power deals with our service of serving the Lord and giving ourselves to Him. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're like styrofoam cups. These old bodies, these old minds, we're nothing. Earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When you do what you've done before and God moves and you say, whoa, God used me to teach this morning. Oh, God used me to sing today. God touched the heart of that lost person when I just spoke those words that God put on my heart. That was God, signs and wonders. But we need that power. Without it, we're useless. God's power deals with our salvation, our sanctification, our satisfaction. It deals with our supply and our service, but it also deals with our services. Hey, you know what they were doing? You know what they're doing in Acts chapter 2? Meeting together just like we are. And God moved in that service. And the Holy Spirit said, the only way I can describe it is that there's wonders and signs. Wonders. The Holy Spirit described these services, those gathering together like us. The Holy Spirit said, only way I can explain it, it was something of wonders. Unusual. Indescribable. Not the norm. And signs. In other words, the preacher did preach, but he wasn't the preacher. And the singers did sing, but oh, it wasn't the singers. And they did come and they did pray and some testified, but it wasn't the testimonies. There was something more there that day. There was a power. There was a presence. And I want to tell you something. We need that power in our services. We are dying. We are dying like most old-fashioned churches for lack of power. Not lack of program. Not lack of party. Not lack of people, even though people are lessening and lessening in every old-fashioned church I know. What we're lacking in, what we're needing more than anything else, is the power of God in our services. And if we are to have that, you know what we're going to need? Purity and preaching and some more things I'll mention. If the rapture don't happen, we need His power. There's a world of difference when we come to church and God moves. Nothing more discouraging for a preacher than to come and hear singing, hear playing, see people, and try and preach, and there's no movement, no power, no presence. And it ought to discourage you, and I say that word a little carefully. It shouldn't so discourage us that we quit. It ought to discourage us enough to get busy begging God for His power again. Begging God for His presence, because He's able. He's able. And He wants it more than we do. I promise you, He wants it more than we do. Power in our services, where we come and it's alive. Hey, not a bunch of cheerleading. I know preachers that are cheerleaders. I'll be honest. I just want to warn you right now, there ain't no cheerleading in me. I can't get up and pump you up. I can't do it. And if He moves, I won't have to. If He's around, I won't need to. I think most of you, I hope, know the difference between pumping up and God's power, God's presence. Boy, when He's here, what a difference it is. You won't go home grumpy then unless you don't respond to the Spirit. You go home with some help. Well, let me wrap her up. I know you want me to. Still telling you the truth. The daily requirement, got to have it. God's power deals with our salvation and sanctification, the satisfaction, supply, service. Service is, and it also deals with our sin. It said fear came upon them. All of a sudden, they saw themselves as they really were. One of the greatest needs of the Baptist church of today, pulpit and pew, is for us to see ourselves as we really are. We're satisfied where we're at. We're content where we're at. You know why? Because we don't see ourselves as we are. If God ever shows us who we really are and what we really are, I promise you, we won't prance around in pride. We'll be on our face begging God to have mercy, like Peter in the boat. The other disciples looking at the catch, looking at the fish, excited about it. Peter got in the bottom of the boat and says, oh, I'm not even worthy to be here. Don't even look at me, Jesus. Because he saw himself and he saw the Lord. Boy, the power of God not only works for our blessings and our bounty, but it also deals with our sin. Revelation 6:16, and they said, to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? When they saw Him as He was, and they saw themselves as they were, they said, mountains, fall on us, kill us, so we won't have to look at them. That's what happens when the power of God reveals sin, that we see ourselves as we are. Jesus said it like this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Those lost people, if you're here lost, the wrath of God hovering over you. At any moment, he could reach out and say, okay, I've spoken the last time. Okay, I've done all I'm going to do. I think you can say that to a church. I believe that's what he's doing to our country. I'm afraid we're already under the judgment of God. I know Trump kind of gave us some grace, and I hope that'll help a little bit. A whole lot better than it could have been. I believe that. If you don't, you really have the right to your opinion, and I guess I do too. But I ain't looking to Trump, I promise you that. If I am, I'm in trouble. But I do believe maybe God has extended the mercy on God's people just a little bit longer for this country. But I am seeing God's judgment in this fashion backing off of us and leaving us alone in our slumber. And dynamite can't wake us up. That's God's power as far as our sin. Because if he didn't show us ourselves, we won't see ourselves. And we won't care. And we won't care that we don't care. And I'm afraid that's where we're getting. I'm afraid that's where we're at in many places. And therefore, we need his power to awaken us. His power to help us to care again. His power to move in our lives. I say it's a requirement. And you know why it's required? Because it's the only way we're going to get help. His power deals with our sin. Such a powerful God who created the universe and all its beauty by just speaking. Wonder what that same God with that same power could do if he got mad. I don't mean God's going to get out of control. He never does. But his anger is very precise. And I wonder if he unleashed that power to deal with sin. I wonder what would happen. The power of God, it's like the Queen of Sheba. Oh my, the half has not yet been told what God could do for a person, a people, or a church who would say, here I am. Here I am. Use me. Work through me. I am willing. And boy, we need that desperately. In order to have his power, and I'm done, I've tried to mention this morning, we need his power. In order to have his power, listen to me, we must have purity. He won't give his power to an impure people. He won't put his power on an impure church. We need his purity and that purity, but we also need, like I've already mentioned, preaching. In other words, preaching tells us where we're at. He uses preaching to show us, and that's why we need purity and preaching and power. I ask two things of us this morning. Number one, if you're lost, I ask you to come and accept Christ. Just call on him. Talk to him. Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need to be forgiven. I don't want to go to hell. Your son died for me and I believe that. I accept what he did for me. I give you myself. Please forgive me. Take my life. Make me a Christian. But I want to say those that are saved to ask the Lord to put on this church that power that we so desperately need. That's the invitation. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed.